KK4 JBQ. I had to think on that for a minute. And not as sharp as you used to be. Well, yeah, I suppose it's a necessary development, you know, and our thinker, I'll just call it that, another wordplay. Our thinker just does that automatically, and we don't have to think about it. We don't have to say, oh, shall I try that out for a minute and see how it feels? No. It just comes to you. It just develops, and it's there to use, or just be very quiet and don't use it at all. So I choose to use it, however it comes. People elsewhere, just call it elsewhere, because I've been a few places, you have too, I know. But if you've lived there for any time, you're not just passing through, not just saying, well, you know, I've heard you say on occasion that you've been in all but two states. One of them, I think, is Maine, maybe the other, New Hampshire. I don't know. But the truth is, if you live there for a little while, you'll catch on to a few euphemisms, ways of saying what they mean to tell you, that are different than anything you've ever heard. I recall when living in Michigan that everybody was you guys. Everybody was a guy. Now, this is long, long before everybody had a different pronoun or a special way to address them. I've not been acquainted with anybody like that, anyone that's, you know, rearranged that way. So I haven't had to struggle with it. God bless me. I haven't had to struggle with it. But in Michigan, everybody's a guy. And you just fall into it, you know, because you want to be accepted with the people that you're hanging with at the moment. So you pretty quickly, after getting over the initial shock, you pretty quickly incorporate that into your own speech. And after a while, it doesn't seem all that difficult to understand what you're saying. So it's different in a lot of places. And the accents, mostly I haven't traveled far and wide like you, but I did live in New Orleans for a while. And the way they said it, the way they say their town name, you got to pick that up. You know, you just have to. You show yourself as a foreigner, you know. You got to say New Orleans. You don't say New Orleans. They'll know exactly that you're just, you know, you just arrived. I like that town. Well, it was long before Katrina. And goodness, you could go anywhere. I didn't have a car when I moved there. I moved there on a bus. A bus and a suitcase. I didn't have a car, but then I soon learned that I didn't need a car. They had these things there that ran on, they ran on a track. Yeah, streetcars. They ran on a track, and oh, I like that. And so you'd board the streetcar, put your nickel in the little ding-a-ling. It was a stand-up, looked like a piggy bank, you know. I know there's a word for it, but I can't think of it. But you put that in there, it goes ka-cling, cling. It's not what the sound that the nickel was making. This thing was saying thank you somehow. It knew that you put the coin in. Well, the driver didn't have to watch you do it. He heard the sound, you see. That's what that was about. And so that was a nickel. And that'd take you anywhere in one direction, as I learned, in one direction. You could go downtown. And if you weren't right exactly where you needed to be, and there were buses on the streets too, so you just asked for a transfer ticket. Believe me, a transfer ticket. And as long as you were going in the same direction, I guess that was printed on the ticket or something, you could transfer to a bus downtown. And then going back home, it was another nickel to go in the other direction, you see. And that way, you could spend 10 cents a day to go to work and back. Now, that's economy. KK4, JVQ.
For DLS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net for KK4JBQ, Mr. Larry over there in Greer. Larry, that is definitely economy. I can remember, when I was down in New Orleans, you're absolutely right. If you don't pronounce the name of the town right, you're in trouble. You were close when you said I'd been in most of the states. I've been in all of them but five. North and South Dakota, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. That's the five I haven't been in. And I've been in Alaska and I've been in Hawaii. So you can count those too. I was in the military when I went to those, but I have been in the states. Miss Megan moved back up there to South Dakota. I told him, I said, I'm going to come see you, but when I do, I said, we're going to drive however long it takes, but 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever time limit, but I'm going to drive north up there and go into North Dakota just so I can say I've been in them two states. I don't know that I'll ever get to Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, but I would love to. I've seen a lot of programs in those states, and it's just like any other state I've ever been in. There's some places that you don't want to go, and there's some places that are just too marvelous and too beautiful for words. And I found out that that's not just around here or, in Hawaii or whatever. Everywhere you go, it's like that. There's something else to look at and a beauty to take in. But I don't know how I got off on that. But anyway, you were close on that. And, I remember, here in Greenville, we had buses that ran from, the outlying communities, and you could ride the bus into town, and if you needed a transfer, you could get a transfer ticket. We had those here as well. And Larry, I don't know if you ever did it or not, but we had a theater up on the upper end of Main Street that every Saturday you could get in for Coca-Cola bottle caps. So, if you go to the store and they had all the Coca-Colas and Pepsis and all that, they had caps that you had to take off with a opener. And you could talk to the people and open up their receptacle there where the bottle caps fell down in and get you out a handful of those, or most people just throw them out on the both side of the road. You walk down the road, pick up enough to go to the movies on Saturday morning.
KI4DOS, KK4JBQ. Well, yes, sir, that's one of mine, too. I don't think I've heard anybody else in my lifetime recount that very memory of mine the way you just did. My grandfather on my mom's side had a general store. And in that general store, he had a big old Coke machine. I mean, it was huge, a big chest type. And it was unique in all that I've ever seen. Now, mind you, I haven't seen all of the Coke machines there are in the world, but I've not seen another one like it. It was as big as a bathtub, this thing. And honestly, it held the bottles in water. It was submerged in cold, cold water. Kept it cold. Now, you'd open up the chest, and you'd put your nickel in. I suppose that was a nickel, too. Put your nickel in, and you'd have to take the bottle that was next in line, because they were all in there in a, you know, it just went from one long end to the other long end of it, just winding through there. That's how they had to be loaded. I suppose it must have been a 10-minute thing if it were near empty to load that thing. You have to take one bottle and then, you know, thread it through there. Well, you had to thread it out, and you, all it was then that you put the nickel in, and that unlocked the latch that kept you from taking it out, straight up, out of the chest. And those things were cold and good, and colder than anything that I'd ever had right out of the refrigerator. I don't know, cold water? Anyway. Well, maybe it just felt that way to me because my dad's general store was not air-conditioned. It was a real old-timey general store with a pickle barrel and a checkerboard on top of that barrel. I mean, it was right out of a book, you know. He was a sweet guy, didn't have many teeth, bald head. I guess that's where I'm headed. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, it was a pleasure to be with him, and he liked seeing his grandchildren. He really did. He'd come in, and he'd take our money, but he was real happy about it. I mean, real pleased. Maybe he wasn't that way with every little kid, but he made me feel special that way. First thing right in the door was a display case with candies in it. Candies and bubble gums, you know, such as that. It was that particular piece of his display in his store was for the kids. I learned that, oh my goodness, maybe I was 10 years old before I realized that's just for us, right in the front door. And I think it was two steps, and the third step, they were concrete, I believe, and the third step was in the store. You had to walk up into the store. Kind of strange. First thing inside the door was what all little children wanted to pause and look at. I had my nickel, and everything was a nickel back then. Is that? Well, anyhow. It was nice to hear you recount that too. Well, Gary, I have enjoyed reminiscing a little bit, talking about what a nickel can do, and you know, all over the world, as far as I knew back then, I thought a nickel did everything. Poor little nickels. Have a good evening, won't you? This has been a fine visit. I'm proud to be here. I want to thank you for calling the net two nights in a row anyway. But all the other times, it has been my pleasure. I say good evening to everybody out there. This is KK4JBQ73.
Meter net with KK4JBQ, Mr. Larry over in Greer. Yeah, Larry, those candy cases were put there for a reason, you know, because they knew if any of the kids came in with mom and daddy, they'd get another two or three, you know, maybe two or three pennies, maybe a nickel. Yeah, we had a general store not far from the house, and the guy he kept penny candy in there, we called it. And you could go in there and get five pieces of candy for a nickel. Or you could mix and match, you know. If you didn't have but two pennies, you could get two pieces of candy. So, oh my gosh, I ain't no telling how many. Well, you know, I picked up Coca-Cola bottles or Pepsi bottles or, you know, and carry them in there and do, and sell them back to the business there. And they would pay you, you know, a couple of pennies. Later in life, they got up to as much as a dime a piece. Man, when we got a dime for them, I thought, man, you know, hey, I can make a living off picking up bottles on the side of the road. And there's probably people that did. I don't know that, but, you know, they were returnable and they were glass. And you could go around picking up bottles and get enough to, make enough money to get you something to eat. That sort of thing. But, gosh, those times have long gone now. But I don't know that I want to go back to them either, though. So we'll leave it at that. But, Larry, good talking with you again this evening. He enjoyed it, really did. And I'm glad Eddie's got his new radio in today, got it all up, hooked up, and working. But his other radio sounded good last night after he got to looking at it, got working on it a little bit. So now he's got two that he knows works real well, which is a good thing. But anyway, you take care. Tell Miss Donna we said hello and look. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net. Dog KI4DOS.
DOS. Please check in. Kilo India 4. Kilo Charlie X-Ray. This is Jerry. Still in Gray Court. Just check us in and out tonight, Jerry.
The DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net. I'd like to say good evening to KI4KCX, Mr. Jerry, down there in Gray Court. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Jerry. Hope you're doing well. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net, call KI4DOS. If I have any more rag tours and run out of check-ins, one last call. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net, call KI4DOS.
Yes, KA3JCA.
Yes, sir, Mr. Richard. Go ahead.
Thank you to both you and Larry, because you sit here and you brought back that nickel candy memory, and I was just sitting here. My grandfather used to have a variety store on Mount Gallant Road in Rock Hill, and I'm going to say the building was just, he built a shop in front of his house. Let's say it was like 16 by 20 feet, and I think you had 4 foot on each side, and then, of course, the door in the middle. Maybe a little bit wider, but it wasn't a very big building. But you walked in, and you had that long metal soda counter, that cooler that Larry was referring to. And behind it, he built some shelves that were angled at a certain pitch, and it had all the boxes of penny and nickel candies on it. And right behind the door was a nickel pinball machine. And then he had what little bit of room he had in there. You could put, he had his fishing lures and stuff like that. And he had maybe two or three stools and a small counter and then a small flat-top grill. And it was like an L shape there. And my grandmother and him used to make burgers and fries. And it, they make, people would pick up sandwiches and fishing supplies on the way to go to Lake Wiley down at the river there in Rock Hill. And it just brought back memories with them cold sodas. And I'm sitting here thinking about that, the ice cold grape knee high and the orange crush and the brown bottle. So, but thank you for that reminiscence there. It just brought back some memories. KA3JCA.
Remember R.C. Cola and the Moon Pie, too.
Very familiar with that, and I also remember if you had a headache, you took a little BC powder and a little 6-ounce bottle of Coke, and you chugged that, and between the two versions of the Coke and the BC powder, your headache didn't last very long.
Well, I'll tell you one other thing, those little 6-ounce Cokes were good for. My dad drove a truck for a lot of years before he was a dispatcher, and every summer, we would go to Florida for on vacation. And he always would get a six-pack of those things and put them in the car, and they were hot. He would never put them on ice.
And I told him, I said, Daddy, I would love one of them Coca-Colas if it was cold. Can't we get some ice? He said, no, them for something else. We get down there in Florida and run through some of them love bugs down there. He'd pull over on the side of the road, get one of those Coca-Colas, and open it, put his thumb over the end of the bottle and shake it up, you know, make it fizz real good. And he would spray that all over the windshield, and you're talking about cutting through some bugs. It made it a little sticky, but the windshield was clean. You could see through it.
Now, I heard that using Coke for that, but yeah, that would cut the love bugs there in Florida.
But, the penny candy and, all the stuff that we grew up with, the long coolers of drinks, you open a big chest type thing, and you slit them, by the neck, and yeah, the knee-high orange and the knee-high grape and the orange crush and the brown bottles and RC Cola. Let me think of another one here. A&W root beer. I had root beer all the time. Cheerwine. You remember Cheerwine?
I had Cheerwine. Back then it was very hard to get. And it was funny, every time my grandfather would get some in, he would set aside a case just for my mom. And it was one of those things that mom drank it more than anybody in the family because she just didn't believe in sharing it. And then the other one is the green Sun Drop bottle. Remember those?
I remember the Sun Drops. If we could recall all those bottles and the colors and the color of the glass and all of that. If we had some of those sitting around the house, they'd probably be worth a fortune to a collector.
Yep, that'd be about it. I was sitting here, I was actually going back through. I was trying to find some information. But I was just trying to figure out here. Yep, there it was. Yep, John Ralph Brannon, 1907 to 1976. And I was actually, what I was looking for is when you were talking about that variety store, I was actually trying to see if by chance that any of the papers had pictures of his old variety store on the road. I mean, I went back after years, and it was gone because they sold the house, and they actually ended up putting a car wash on that corner lot, and they actually moved the house maybe three blocks down, but they just demolished the shop. So I was just trying to see if it had some pictures on it. KA3JCH.
If you find a picture of it, shoot me an email with it. I'd love to see it. My mother's mother and father lived up in Traveler's Rest, and there was a little convenience store right down at the end of their street. And it was B.F. McDaniels, and that little old store stayed up there for, gosh, I don't know, a long, long, long time. And right now, if you went up there, there's an Ingles on 276, if you go through downtown Traveler's Rest and going out of town towards Marietta. And just before you get to, when you get right there, I think there's a traffic light there now. When you get to that traffic light, if you look to the left, that's where that store used to be. And it changed into, it changed from a general store to this and that and a couple other different places that had a business in there. But when I would go stay with my grandparents, I'd go down there, or they would take me down there and let me go in and get me a couple of pieces of candy or a piece of bubble gum or whatnot. And we had a lot of fun. Of course, you wouldn't let your kids or your grandkids go into a place like that now that had big old bins of open candy and chewing gum and that sort of stuff, and let them grab them some, you wouldn't know what you were getting.
The stores that came out afterwards, it had the little plastic, plexiglass type cases that when you walked into the store, it had like the penny candies and the caramels and other stuff. It was just like, and I think they lost more to people walking by and just reaching in and grabbing one or two.
You're right. They probably lost a lot that way. But then there's probably people that reached in there and got them a piece of candy, and when they got back up to the checkout, you know, they said, I had two pieces of that candy over there. Well, what'd you do with it? Well, I've already eaten it. I know my dad did that a couple of times at another little old store. It was up to at my other grandparents. He'd go in there and we'd walk around and we'd get a Coke and he'd get a piece of candy or maybe give me a dope and a pack of nabs or something like that. give a pack of crackers and a Coke and sit down and eat it. And then before he left, he'd pay for it. But there was a lot of that went on, I guess.
The nabs and peanut butter and Ecot cookies. Oh, we used to take those and Mountain Dew and sit on the river fishing and eat that. Or we'd have a can of sardines and saltine crackers and Vienna sausages and Mountain Dew and sit there and fish all day long. Find you a shady spot, just sit back, soak some worms, and munch away.
I always liked my sardines that were packed in mustard. You know, some of them were packed in mustard, and I always liked them the best. But I've eaten a lot of those, and, matter of fact, when I drove a truck, I kept stuff like that in them. There's plastic milk crates that the gallons of milk come in. There's 4 gallons of milk come in one crate. Or you can get 9.5 gallons of milk in the same crate. But I got me one of those crates, and I throwed all kinds of, beanie weenies and potted meat and crackers, and I had some Ritz crackers and saltines, and just an assortment of stuff. Because you get some places and you get stuffed and you get hungry, and you, at least you got a little something to snack on. And of course, I had always carried me a cooler with some cold drinks in it, and water and soft drinks and tea and that sort of thing, and a thermos of coffee. So I wasn't going to get stranded out on the road and get to a place I couldn't get me something to eat.
You mentioned I've eaten it, I've carried it as supplies in my car, and I know what you're talking about. So, but yeah, I'm not going to keep it long, Larry. Gary, please tell Miss Joy we said hi. And Sally woke up for a few seconds. I told her you said hi. And of course, Ashley went to bed. She was in bed a little after 7. She was kind of had a headache and so forth like that. So, but yeah, it's a pleasure talking with you and Larry going down memory lane there. We're all about that same age limit there. And so it's always a pleasure. I will say 73 is there, and I'll let you close out the net there, and I'll check for any check-ins. And we're going to try to get on here more often, Gary, KA3JCA.
Well, that sounds real good. I appreciate you coming in and talking with us a little bit tonight. I hadn't talked to you in a long time. But do tell Miss Sally and Ashley we said hello, and it was a thrill when I got to talk to Miss Sally on the radio not too long ago. She doesn't get on there quite as much as me and you do, but I enjoyed it as well. But y'all take care down there in Simpsonville, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. 73, my friend. Do we have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
DOS. Please check in and out. Kilo 4, Sierra, Mike, Victor, Dale. In the metropolis of Ellenburg, just one check-in, wave a hand at you there, my friend Garrett. Look forward to seeing you Saturday. KK4SMV, back to net control.
KK4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to say good evening to my buddy Dale, KK4SMV, up there in Ellenburg. appreciate you being with us tonight, Dale. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday. James, KK4JFO up there at Tuxedo, he said, sounds like half a country's going to be up there at Waynesville Saturday, and I hope they are. You know, the more the merrier, we'll have a good time. But look forward to seeing you. You take care, and we'll say 73 to you for now there, young man. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. To wrap it up this evening, I'll submit my net report here electronically, and then we're closing that out.
Do you have any testing this Saturday?
Hey, push that transmit button on that thing. That's the reason I let it make its announcement. I have not had an email from Steve yet, but normally it's the third Saturday. So they should be having testing over at the Red Cross building at 940 Grove Road.
Sure. I've been doing online testing and also in-person testing here at the house on Saturdays at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So if anybody that doesn't make it that morning and you guys can't stick around or they want to test later that day, just have them reach out and get a hold of me, okay?
I did not know that. Well, I knew you were doing some online testing, but I didn't know that you were doing testing there at your house. But that's always good to know. You do that every Saturday?
Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've had a couple of people show up, and then most of them are remote, but I've had a couple of people here from South Carolina drive over and take the test, and I have computer tablets already made up, and so all they have to do is use the tablet. They'll log in. If they're only going for the technician, then, of course, Sally, Ashley, and I can do the test, but if not, if I need an extra person or whatever, I have a couple of VEs. I have, like, 54 VEs on my list that I can create a Zoom meeting real quick and get somebody on to meet the minimum requirement of VEs. But if anybody, because sometimes people don't want to wait that extra 3 weeks or another month to test, and if they want to at least attempt it again, I do offer that.
Remember that, and I'll put that out. That's always good to know, because people are always asking, you know, if you know the VE's session going on and when and where. So that's real good information. Thanks for sharing that with me, and I'll keep that in mind.
Know anybody that's ARRL or W5Y or Laurel volunteer examiners that want to do it? I mean, I can teach you how to do exam tools. I can teach you how to get on the Zoom and remote if you're not familiar. And, of course, the in-person is just like doing the West Cars in person. You know, you go in and you can generate a paper test, but I do my testing on tablets. So everything's done. It's all paperless, basically.
Even with West Cars, even though we use paper and pencil to take the test and that sort of thing, all of our stuff is transmitted electronically. You know, on Saturday or Sunday, we send it to the FCC. And normally, sometime late Monday afternoon or Tuesday, at the latest, your call sign's already back. Depending on now when you pay, of course, because your license cost from the FCC is $35, and as soon as you pay that, then that's when you get your license. But back here, you know, last year it was free, and you took the test on Saturday and Tuesday, you had your license. So that's pretty good. I like that electronic filing better.
Is the way to go, and pretty much everybody's going to that. I don't know if you saw last month's issue in ARRL QST magazine. I think it was page 79 and 80, that coming January, the ARRL is going to do away with the sending or field stocking the ARRL test. They're basically going to electronic, and more people are switching it. Now, like I said, I still do Laurel VE testing, and they do in-person testing, and they still, you can do it on tablets or paper. but they just do not do remote testing. So I would have to have enough VEs present to have an actual team of three or more for the VE, for the Laurel VEC guidelines. But ARRL requires three people online remote or three people in person, and W5YI requires three people in person or four people on the online remote. So, but yep, keep that in mind. And if anybody here that wants that is ARRL or even W5YI wants to get on an online for additional testing where you don't have to leave the house, just have them reach out to me and I'll hook them up. They can start their own team or do whatever.
I'll do that. And in the meantime, you and Sally and Ashley have a wonderful weekend, or week, and what's left of it, and a wonderful weekend coming up. And like I said, as far as I know, the West Cars will have a VE session this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock over at the Red Cross building.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll say 73 and tell Miss Joy we said good evening to KA3JCA.
Take care, young man. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge to Meter Net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear. Oh, before I clear out, Matt, WG4MC, will be calling tomorrow night, to the best of my knowledge. New all's listening, y'all come back tomorrow night and give Matt a good dose of writer's crap. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.